Since we will be studying Revelation, it is important to understand what a revelation is. The word revelation comes from the Greek word apokalypsis. It means the uncovering, the unveiling of, or the disclosing. Revelation is a disclosing of Jesus Christ. It can be taken two ways, as the revealing of the person of Jesus Christ, or as the revealing of what he intends to do, starting with the church age and running through the end of time. The church age is that period of time that the church is on earth. The church consists of the followers of Jesus, as opposed to a church that is a building where people meet to worship. The church age started 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead on the Jewish holiday called Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. It will end when the church age is raptured. Just as 1 week is divided into 7 days, the church age is divided into 7 periods. John, one of Christ's original 12 disciples, was selected by Jesus, to record Revelation. Since he knew Jesus personally, John is often called the Apostle John. He never boasted of that, but simply called himself a servant of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Most people who study Revelation have a tendency to rush to those hot-button topics, like the mark of the beast and the two witnesses, that come later. They are skipping parts of the Bible that contain many great truths. Every verse in the Bible is important, and we should want to understand understand what each one of them has to say. God gave the message of Revelation to his son, Jesus. He wanted Jesus to pass it on to his servants. So Jesus gave it to an angel. The angel gave it to John, who gave it to the church. God's purpose for giving this message was to let the church know what was to come in the future. Must means it is absolutely certain that these events will take place, and shortly means that they will begin in the near future. However, remember that God's definition of shortly is a lot different from our definition. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. John wrote it. It was his task to record what he saw, and what he saw was the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The things written in this book are the word of God, and they come from God through his son Jesus. The book of Revelation has been called the book of sevens. Seven churches, seven spirits, seven seals, seven trumpet judgments, and seven bowl judgments, seven thunders, seven blessings, seven I am statements of Jesus, and more. People often want to know why so many sevens, 54 in all. Many scholars call them evidence of divine inspiration and instruction. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Revelation is more than a book of doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. It is also a book of prophecy. The fulfillment of this prophecy began on the first day of the church age, Pentecost. God did not have John write Revelation for it to be ignored. He had John write it to be read, heard, and kept. Yet some people won't read it because they are either uninterested, scared, or find it difficult to understand. All God simply asks for us to read Revelation. The word hear could simply mean to listen to someone else read Revelation, just like you're doing. But it is probably meant to recognize that Revelation is the word of God and needs to be heard with one's heart. The word keep requires obedient action to do what the Bible says. God promised a blessing to those who read, hear, and keep the word of God. This means he will help us understand it. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you, and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Revelation is for all believers, but here at the beginning is a section specifically addressed to the seven particular churches. The greeting is grace and peace, the common need of all people. Without the grace of God, we would perish. Without the peace of God, we would be unsure of our salvation. The source of grace and peace is the eternal God, the God who is, who was, and who is to come. In addition to the peace of God, the Bible talks about peace between people and peace between nations. The world doesn't have to have wars, a tribulation period, and things like that. It can have peace between people and nations by accepting Jesus. The Holy Spirit occupies a place before the throne of God. He has a sevenfold nature. This nature is made up of seven virtues, which are called the seven spirits. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Then there's a Spirit of the Spirit's defined. The nature of Jesus, the ability to make the right decision, the ability to understand everything, the ability to give sound advice, the power to do what God wants, the ability to know beyond human comprehension, and the ability to respect God's will. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. God intended to establish the kingdom here on earth, and Jesus is the chosen one who will rule over that kingdom. Even at his birth, an angel visited his mother, the Virgin Mary, and told her she would have a son who would sit on a throne and whose kingdom there would be no end. The promise that God would send his son Jesus the first time to die on a cross was literally fulfilled. Therefore, many believed the promise that God will send his son Jesus a second time to rule over all things will also be literally fulfilled. Jesus is called 1. The faithful witness. Jesus was faithful in all the things God gave him to do. He was the Word made flesh, a faithful example of the very nature of the living God, Jesus. 2. The firstborn from the dead. Jesus was the first to die and be raised from the dead. He never died again. Others have been raised from the dead, but they eventually died again. 3. The ruler over the kings of the earth. This is his position in the world. World rulers do not yet realize that Jesus is in charge, but he is. The day will come when he will physically reign over every power on earth. We are also told that Jesus loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love, a love that never fails. And the proof of his love is in the fact that he removes our sin through the shedding of his own blood, his crucifixion. Here's what others think. David Breeze. We should never forget that we are what we are, and we are participants in the grand scenario of history. Because Jesus Christ, in his own blood, has given forgiveness and cleansing. and hath made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus had made us a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. This is what he had done for us. Here is what we can do for him. We can give him glory and dominion throughout all eternity. Jesus is our king, and we are subjects in his kingdom. Because he exalted us, we will exalt him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is everything that can be said about God from the start to finish, from A to Z. He is the creator of all things, and he will be the final judge of all things. He is the Lord of all. In verse 4 of this chapter, we notice that Jesus is the eternally existing God, the God who is, who was, and who is to come. In verse 8, he calls himself the same thing. He is equal to the Almighty God who has power over all things. John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdoms and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In verse 8, Jesus introduced himself. Now John introduces himself. He's the Christian's spiritual brother, a brother in Christ. He is also the Christian's companion, a companion in suffering for Christ's sake. All Christians are members of God's spiritual kingdom, the church, a kingdom that teaches and requires patience. John was on the Isle of Patmos, a small island in the Mediterranean Sea, where he was imprisoned by the Roman Emperor Domitian, that explains his suffering. What was his crime? Two things. One, he would not deny the truth of the Bible. And two, he would not deny the witness of Jesus Christ. John would rather be cast into prison and killed than reject Christ. Becoming a servant of God will not keep a Christian out of trouble. We are not going to slide through life without problems. We are in the process of winning crowns. However, there are crosses to bear, or persecution, before we receive them. I was in the spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. By the time John was in prison, Christians had adopted the practice of worshiping on Sunday. There are two reasons for this. One, Jesus arose on Sunday, and two, Pentecost falls on a Sunday. It was Sunday, the Lord's day, and John was most likely praying when the Holy Spirit began to take control of him. While under the Holy Spirit's influence, John heard an unusual voice, a voice that sounded like a trumpet. Christians will hear the trumpet of God when they are raised from the dead. And John heard a voice like a trumpet when he was called up into heaven. Also, notice that even though John was in prison on a faraway island, Jesus still knew where he was, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. To Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. The voice told John to write in a book what he was about to see. That book is Revelation. By this time in history, there were probably thousands of churches in the world. Out of all of those churches, Jesus picked seven. He identified them in a precise order. Looking back on history, we now realize that Jesus picked these seven particular churches and why he listed them in that order. Their good and bad qualities and the problems they faced are ideal for instructing all of God's people. And those same qualities and problems have turned out to be prophecies revealing the future history of the church. This fits what Jesus said when he called the book of Revelation words of prophecy. In addition to other things, The seven letters to seven churches are a prophetic outline of church history. They reveal phases of stages in life of the church. I hope you guys have enjoyed, and I hope it has been uplifting. Ohio, please follow for more. Bye.